Recently, historian Dr. Richard Weikart wrote, "To hear some tell it, Adolf Hitler was a Christian creationist who rejected Darwinian evolution." But, of course, Dr. Richard Weikart shows that is not the case. He has written the book From Darwin to Hitler. Now he's written a new book. It's called Darwinian Racism, How Darwinism Influenced Hitler, Nazism, and White Nationalism. Hello, I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest right now is Dr. Richard Weikart, who's a professor of history, and he is a teacher at California State University, Stanislaus. He's also a senior fellow at Discovery Institute and their Center for Science and Culture. Dr. Weikart, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us, and congratulations on a new book.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and it's great to be with you.
Sure. Okay, first of all, let me say this. Recently on The View, and I'm not a fan of this program or anything, but I happened to hear a clip on a radio show where they were playing Whoopi Goldberg, who was disagreeing with some of her liberal colleagues, and she's very liberal herself, but she said that the Holocaust had nothing to do with race, or it was not about race. And you've written about this subject, and I think you would disagree with that point, correct?
I think every German historian would disagree with that point because it's pretty clear that it has everything to do with race. I don't know what she thought it had to do with, but it certainly did have to do with race. In fact, there's a prominent book written by two German historians that calls the Nazi period the racial state. That's the title of the book. And Nazi historians are pretty well understand that it is about race.
Okay, well, let's define race. What does that mean? And what is racism?
Well, that's an interesting question because, of course, race has been defined in different ways over the centuries and usually is defined based on various physical attributes, skin color and shape of the face and other kinds of things like that. The Nazis in the early to mid 20th century, defined race based on these kinds of physical characteristics. But they also thought it went beyond physical. They thought that there were mental characteristics that corresponded to different races. And it's important to understand that in the late 1800s and early 1900s, that there were anthropologists and biologists who were fanning the flames of this kind of categorization of people according to skin color and skull types. In fact, skull types was a big one. The anthropologists did a lot with measuring skulls to try to look at the slope of the forehead and other kinds of things like that to determine various races. And very often they claimed that the black Africans were closer to the apes because their forehead sloped more than the Europeans and other kinds of things like that.
Okay, what's the link between racism and Darwinism?
Well, interestingly, racism, of course, pre-existed Darwinism, but Darwin thought that racism was a way to help prove and provide evidence for his theory. That is, Darwin was trying to show that there was variation within species. He had to do that in order to show that there was biological evolution occurring. And what better way, when he turned his attention to the human species, which, by the way, in his very earliest notebooks, he was talking about human evolution, and he wrote an entire book, of course, in 1871, The Descent of Man, about human evolution. What better way among humans to show diversity than to show that races were quite different? And Darwin, in fact, thought that they were subspecies, in fact, what would become incipient species that if they kept branching off and kept geographically isolated long enough, that they could eventually branch off into different species. So Darwin saw race as a way to validate and provide evidence for his theory. But it went beyond that too, because Darwin also thought that races were in competition with each other in the Darwinian struggle for existence. And because of that, he thought that British imperialism, European imperialism was going to decimate these other allegedly inferior peoples, such as the Native Americans, the Australian Aborigines, the Black Africans, and such in the struggle for existence. So not only was he justifying racism and racial hierarchies, but he was also justifying genocide.
Wow. By the way, do you have in front of you, what was the exact title the long title of On the Origin of the Species by Darwin, because I remember it mentioned something about favored races in the actual title, the long title.
Yeah, it does have – in the subtitle, it does talk about the competition between the favored races. I don't remember the exact title there, but it does use the term favored races. In that context, races – since Darwin really doesn't talk about humans in any significant way in Origin of Species, favored races is speaking more about like subspecies – what we call subspecies of different organisms. But when he turns his attention to humans in The Descent of Man, quite clearly he is talking about – races, and he has an entire chapter on races. He has actually a section of about three or four pages in there, which is entitled On the Extinction of Races. So he believed that what he saw as the superior human races, which he thought was the Europeans, were going out exterminating other races, and that this was going to bring about evolutionary progress.
Okay, so how did Darwin's theory influence Hitler and the Nazis, especially when it comes to the Holocaust?
Well, first of all, of course, it was going to influence Darwinian biologists and anthropologists in Germany. And so by the late 1890s and then under the early 1900s, there were many German biologists and anthropologists who were embracing the idea that races were in this kind of Darwinian competition. And then Hitler was going to pick up those ideas from these other German biologists and anthropologists and embrace the idea that humans are in this competition to the death, essentially, between races. And that some of that competition, Hitler thought, was over – the Darwinian struggle for existence was over scarce resources. You know, Darwin had bought into the Malthusian idea that that organisms reproduced faster than their food supplies could keep up, and so that's what brought about this struggle for existence, this competition in which the fit would survive and the unfit would perish. Hitler thought this was also a struggle for land, and he wasn't the one who originated that idea. There was, in fact, a Darwinian biologist named Friedrich Ratzel, who later became a geographer, and he framed this idea of what he called the struggle for living space. Framed this as a part of the Darwinian struggle for existence. And the idea of the struggle for living space is that land is what the struggle is about. And this makes sense because land is where you get your food from. So your struggle is over food so that you can have survive and reproduce. That was a very prominent idea in Hitler's ideology. And it's one of the reasons why he was wanting to conquer Poland and then the Soviet Union to take over what was called living space. And so, again, he saw this as part of the Darwinian struggle for existence. He saw also the struggle between races as being part of the Darwinian struggle for existence. And so he thought he was just sort of helping along the evolutionary process and bringing about biological progress by getting rid of these so-called inferior races.
Okay, so where do the Jews fit into all this?
Well, that's a great question. And the Jews didn't come from the Darwinian provenance. Darwin himself was not anti-Semitic. However, in Germany, there were a number of anti-Semitic thinkers in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. People like Theodor Fritsch, who was one of the leading anti-Semitic publicists in the early 20th century, who blended Darwinism into their ideas about anti-Semitism. So before Hitler came on the scene, there were quite a number of publicists who were promoting the idea that the Jews were an inferior race and that they were locked and that the Germans were locked in this Darwinian struggle for existence with them. So, again, the anti-Semitic issue didn't come from Darwinism per se, but it became blended in with this Darwinian concept of having a struggle for existence between these races.
Did Hitler and the Nazis, did they view the Jews as some sort of like an inferior subspecies, not even necessarily human? And by the way, we know that in the Holocaust there were 6 million Jews killed, but then there were also millions of others killed, including many, many gypsies and then even a lot of Slavs. All three of these, the Jews, the Slavs, the gypsies, could be viewed as subhuman by Hitler and the Nazis. So can you elaborate on that further? Why did they
want to kill these people? Yeah, and that is exactly the term you used there, last, subhuman, is exactly the term that the Nazis were using in their propaganda to describe the Slavs as well as the Jews and others. In fact, there's a Nazi pamphlet, a propaganda pamphlet, that was entitled Der Untermensch, which literally means the subhuman. And on the title, the cover of it, it has a photograph of Russian soldiers, Russian POWs, who they were also exterminating. So it wasn't, the Jews were the sort of the biggest and the biggest enemy, sort of enemy number one of the Germans, but they also viewed other racial types, and the Russian Slavs they viewed as the inferior as well, and they killed millions of Soviet POWs in their zeal to exterminate other races. But you're right, also the Gypsies, or the Roma and Sinti, as they prefer to be called, they also were targeted, and hundreds of thousands of them were killed as well. So Hitler saw this as a struggle for existence among many races, opposing his so-called Aryan, or sometimes they'd use the term Nordic race. And again, he framed it as a Darwinian struggle for existence. And again, it wasn't just Hitler. And one thing I show in my book, Darwinian Racism, is that this was a prominent idea among German biologists and anthropologists during this time as well. It wasn't just a Nazi idea.
Okay, if you could elaborate further, why exactly were the Jews the biggest victims of the Holocaust? What was it, you know, why did they have a chip on their shoulders about the Jews? I mean, surely they didn't think that the Jews had not evolved, you know, properly. I mean, obviously Jews are very good at making money. Many Jews are in the forefront of intellectual pursuits, et cetera. I remember reading, by the way, years ago, I took the time to read Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, and I remember he blamed the Jews for one thing he said, you know, if you something that's rotten in the culture and you just dig a little, you'll always find Jewish presence there, you know, like they're the ones writing these terrible plays that are bringing our morality down, things like that, you know, whatever. So elaborate further, if you would, why were the Jews the biggest victim?
Well, one of the things that had become very prominent among a lot of biologists and anthropologists by the 1890s and early 1900s was the idea of biological determinism. That is, that human behavior is determined by your heredity. And in the case of the Jews, and so what this meant, by the way, was that they believed that various traits that we would think of as moral traits, like deception versus telling the truth, being diligent versus being lazy, being sexually immoral rather or sexually pure, that those kinds of moral traits were biologically ingrained. And so they believed that the Jews had these, quote, immoral traits biologically ingrained. And this part of the Darwinian struggle for existence and the evolutionary processes had brought them to the point where they had these immoral traits that had become sort of the stereotypes of Jews. So they saw Jews as being deceitful. They saw them as being sexually promiscuous. They saw them as being greedy, and that's why they're making money. And so they had all these negative stereotypes about Jews that they thought were now biologically ingrained. They're not something that the Jews can change. And it's not just a cultural thing. It's a biological thing. Yeah. On the other hand, they thought that the Nordic or Aryan race was honest and diligent and upright, and, you know, and they had all these positive traits that they thought that depicted the Aryans. So, again, they thought these were biological traits and thus the races couldn't just, you know, educate themselves out of it or change culturally or whatever. So the only way to eliminate them is to eventually either deport them from your country, get them out of your country or whatever, or then to annihilate them.
All right. I would love to have you back on soon after I actually get a copy of the book in my hands and we can explore more of this further. Mm-hmm. But let me give you a website, discovery.org/b/Darwinian-racism. Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Weikart. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thanks for having me on.